So today's shiur is Le'ili Nishmas Tzvi Ben Zev HaKohen, who's the brother of Ruth Isaacs. Should be an Aliyas Neshama. Rabosa, if you have the Mar Makomos page for today, you'll see that we begin with a brisa, which is quoted here on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis and continues on to Yudes Amud Aleph. And the focal point of our discussion will be the Iser Onen, not the Ptur of Onen, as much as the Iser Onen. Meaning that the Onen Einu Mevarech, Tosu says, although Rashi says Einu Zokuk Levarech, he says that the impression you get from the Yerushalmi is that there's no option here. The Onen doesn't have the possibility of fulfilling mitzvahs and making brachas. And the Yerushalmi goes on to offer two reasons why. So it says, if he wants to be machmir on himself, ein shomin lo. And the Yerushalmi says, this is on the third line, lama. Why is it that he's not allowed to be mevarech? Ein rashoy levarech. Against Rashi. And first the Yerushalmi answers, mipnei kvodo shelmes. And then the Yerushalmi says, "Inami, an alternative mipnei she'ein lo mi she'yisa maso." So, in the first interpretation, he, the Onen, is totally focused on kvodo shelmes, to the exclusion of doing mitzvahs. That means any involvement in mitzvahs would undermine his ability to dedicate himself to kvodo shelmes. That's the first approach of the Yerushalmi. And that emphasizes kvodo shelmes.
On the technical,
we'll get into it. We haven't seen Yehud in a while, so you know you gotta come in, ease in smoothly. I'm just presenting the two tzedakim and the Yerushalmi on the most simple superficial level. So again, in the first answer, the Yerushalmi kvodo shelmes has to completely exclude mitzvahs. The second answer, the Yerushalmi, is Mipnesha Elo Mishiyisa Maso. He is involved in actually burying the dead. And this suffix in Yerushalmi has to be understood. Apparently, the Yerushalmi is wavering back and forth, offering two alternative interpretations of this fundamental principle that an Onen is not only exempt from mitzvahs, but he is even enjoined from doing mitzvahs if he wants to do so. So the first question I want to ask you today is, what are the two definitions here of the Yerushalmi? What is the Yerushalmi vacillating about, back and forth, about the nature and the yesod of this Iser of doing mitzvahs, of involving himself in mitzvahs? And let's just think a little bit out of the box, even before we analyze the language of the Yerushalmi. Let's just think, what is it about Aninus that would knock off other mitzvahs? We've been speaking about Osik b'mitzvah, Potter b'mitzvah. What mitzvah is it, if you had to isolate one mitzvah to the exclusion of any other mitzvah, is incumbent upon the Onen as one of the Zion Krovim? Obviously, Kfura. Kfura Sames. So the first answer we would give is that Kfura Sames is something that is so, shall we say, overwhelming. It requires a complete and total dedication, a focus to the exclusion of anything else. Therefore, the Onen should not in any way distract his mind from his mitzvah of kvura. But there's another way of saying it. Instead of putting the emphasis on the chovas kvura, the obligation of kvura, we could, in a sense, step down a little bit. You know, the chovas kvura is a little bit too abstract. And if we make it more practical, what would be the alternative to the chovas kvura? Well, again, whenever you speak about a chova, you're talking about the abstract obligation. Well, what's the next step if you take it down one level? It's not the abstract chova, but rather what?
The asiyah.
Another word for asiyah. I'm always trying to train you in the language so we can speak the same lingo. The kium kvura. This askus bekium kvura. And the difference is going to be the following. If you're talking about chovas kvura, then these dinim of aninus are not dependent upon his askus bekvura. It's irrelevant. It's regardless of whether or not at this particular moment he's being mekayim his obligation of his askus bekvura. Nevertheless, he's obligated in kvura. That chiyuv kvura itself is enough to engender the chaloshem aninus and therefore the iser of doing any other mitzvahs. The chovas kvura as an obligation, just an abstract, just think, focus on the concept of the obligation, is so imposing on him that it excludes any other mitzvahs. The second approach would be a more practical approach. It's not the abstract chova, but it's the actual involvement in the kiyum mitzvahs kvura. The Nesiyas HaMes, the Hesped, the burial of the Mes, whatever is involved in Kvura, that his askus is what engenders the state of Aninus. And perhaps, Rabosai, that's exactly what the Yerushalmi is vacillating about. The mitzvah of Kvura HaMes, says the Yerushalmi, and that Chova is identical with Kvodo Shomes. The chiyuv on the avel, on the onen in this case, and all the Zion krovim come under the law of aninus, is to be dedicated to kvodo shalmes. And kvodo shalmes, as we said before, precludes any involvement in other mitzvahs. The other way, says the Yerushalmi, is no. Ein lo misha yisa maso. Who is actually getting his hands dirty, so to speak, with the actual kvura? We're no longer on the level of abstract chova, but rather on the level of down-to-earth implementation, the kiyum, this askus bekvura. And in the light of this suffix in the Yerushalmi, perhaps we can understand and appreciate very well the Kash of Tosfos. Tosfos finds a stira with regard to Shabbos and with regard to Yontif. Is there a din of Aninus on Shabbos? Well, one could ostensibly argue that on Shabbos there is no what? There is no Kvura, correct? I mean, after all, Kvura involves a whole slew of melachos, not the least of which is meleches charisha, meleches kfira, of digging the grave. Shabbos is not the day for kvura. And therefore, whether we take the first definition of the Yerushalmi, that the chiyuv kvura is identical with kvodo shalmes, and that precludes mitzvahs, and that's what is the Yisoda Yisodas of Avaninus. Or we take the second definition, this Askus Bekfura, that's what engenders Aninus and precludes him from mitzvahs. In the case of Shabbos, we have neither of the above. And therefore it makes sense to assume that there should be no Aninus on Shabbos. Why? Because there's no Chovas Kvura, there's no his Askus Bekfura. And that indeed would be supported by the Reisha. What's the Reisha? So let's take a look at Tosus inside. This you'll see on the fourth line. He says the following. Yerushalmi asks the following question. Hatanya patur min etilas lulav. How can you tell me that on Yontif he should be potter from netilas lulav, if it's on Yontif itself? What possibility is there on Yontif to bury the dead? And the Yerushalmi answers that Enochinami, we're not talking about Yontif. Netilas Lulav is a mitzvah even, again, at least Midrabanan, even during what? Chol HaMoed. But then we read a little bit further in this Braisa, and it says, Potumitkiya Shofar. Shofar for sure is on Yontif. There's no Chol HaMoed on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore we come to the conclusion, Lechora, that there is Aninus on Yontif. And that seems to be very problematic. According to everything we've been saying, either Chovas Kvura or Es Askus Bimes, where is the generator of Aninus? What is it that engenders Aninus here when there's neither Chovas Kvura nor Es Askus Bimes? So Omar Abchanina, this is the teretz of the Yushalmi, Mikevan Shu Zokuk Lahachin Lo Aron Vitachrichim Kirisnan. He quotes the Mishnah at the end of Shabbos. The Mishnah says that Mechashchin Olav Esatchum Lahavi Lo Aron Vitachrichim is therefore Kemoshu Nose Maso Dami. And it seems that according to the, we call it the Reisha, this is the first part of the Braisa and the Yerushalmi, there is a din of Aninus on Yontif. And why is that so? And not only Yontif, but also Shabbos, because on both Shabbos and Yontif, there is this Askus Bimes. Which is Askus Bimes is there? We don't bury the dead neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. We'll soon see that maybe we could bury the dead on Yontif. There is maybe a theoretical possibility. But generally speaking, the mitzvah of Kvura is suspended. So the Yerushalmi answers, all right, the mitzvah of Kvura is suspended, but there's still his Askus Bikvura. How do you have his Askus Bikvura on Shabbos and Yontif? What does that mean? That even before the end of Shabbos, he's allowed to go all the way out to the Tchum Shabbos, so that immediately when he makes Havdalah, he will bring the Aron and Tachrichim into the Tchum. He's already involved on Shabbos v'Yontif in preparing for Kvura. And that itself engenders Aninus. Now this would make sense according to the second interpretation of the din of Aninus. According to Yerushalmi's first interpretation, Mishum Kvodo Shel Mes, it's difficult to understand where's the Chovas Kvura here. There is no Chovas Kvura. Meaning any preparation for Kvura, if it's going to engender a Chiyuv Kvura, would have to lead up to the summit, which is the actual burial. And that's impossible. But if on the other hand I take up the second interpretation of the Yerushalmi, this Askus, he's Torud Lisa Maso, then even on Yontif, despite the fact that he has no Chiyuv Kvura, nevertheless he still has this Askus B'Kvura, he can be Machshech Al HaTchum. All that is fine. Says Tosfos, let's summarize the conclusion of this Braisa, the Reisha of the Yerushalmi. Alma Mashma, Divishabosos, V'yomim Tovim, Eino Rashoi Levarech. He doesn't have permission, he's enjoined from Brachos, meaning he's a full-fledged Onen. Ulispali cannot daven. The Tarud, he's being Osek, Lehachshich Lo Alatchum, Lehavi Aron v'tachrichim, is therefore we have a case of nose maso, which, as we said before, is the second explanation of the Yerushalmi for what underlies Aninus. Everything is great, but kasha mi sefer. We have a contradiction from the sefer. Diktani in the sefer, and we have it here in the Braisa on daf yud ches amud aleph. B'Shabbos mevarchim olav u'mezamnim olav. V'chein tanya nami b'Yerushalmi b'adnei dvarim b'chol. Avol b'Shabbos meisiv v'ochel u'mevarech v'onim akrav amen. So if in the Reisha we said that there is Aninus on Shabbos, in the Sefer what's the conclusion? There is no aninus on Shabbos. And that's why on Shabbos, the onin is allowed to be mevarech. He's involved in mitzvahs as if he was not an onin. So what will it be? Is the reisha correct and there is aninus on Shabbos? Is the sefer correct and there's no aninus on Shabbos? And of course, if we skip over the re for a moment, what is our natural inclination? And that's where Tosis quotes the name of Rabbeinu Nisanel. How would you reconcile the contradiction, the Lechora contradiction between the Reisha and the Sefer? Even in the Reisha Rabbosai, is it absolutely clear under all circumstances that there is Aninus on Shabbos? What did the Gemara say to explain who was it, Rabbi Chanina, correct? What did Rabbi Chanina say in the Yerushalmi to explain the Reisha? Why there is Aninus on Shabbos and Yontif? Because Machshich and all of us at Chum. It wasn't a necessarily absolute, unconditional halacha that always, under all circumstances, there's Aninus on Shabbos and Yontif. And therefore, if you fast forward by two lines, we're skipping the Re for a moment, he says in the name of Rabbeinu Nisanel, the Efshali Ashva. It all depends. Is there Aninus on Shabbos? Is there not? Well, that depends on another question. Is he involved? Is he Osek? Is he Torud in the burial? Devada, he says, Im Daito Lahashach Alatchum. When is the Reisha telling us that he is an Onen? That's only because he is involved. Again, you have to see what the word daito means. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But lahachshich al tchum, under those circumstances, he's torud lahachshich v'ein rashoy levarech. He's an onen insofar as ein lo misha yisa maso, he and only he is involved in the kvura and preparing for the kvura. I will say for Myri, at this point, for whatever reason it is, he's not involved in being machshe, he's not involved at all in preparing for the Kvura Motzei Shabbos, meaning for Aron and Tachrichim, and therefore he is not involved in Kvura. If he's not involved in Kvura, he doesn't have a din of Tirda, and hence the Sefer of the Brice and the Yerushalmi postulates that there's no Aninus on Shabbos. The Re, which is what we skipped in the middle, has a different approach. The Re says the Pligi Adodi Reisha V'Seifa Birshalmi. According to the Re, there is no way of reconciling the Reisha with the Seifa, but we have to come in and postulate that Pligi Adodi, which means that there's a fundamental machlokus here. In the Bryce itself, the Reisha is reflecting one Shita, one definition of Aninus, the Sefer, different one, and therefore we cannot reconcile the two. So what I'd like to discuss with you, and try to come to some understanding, is what's the machlokas here between the Re and Rabbeinu Nisanel. Intuitively, we would align ourselves, I think, with Rabbeinu Nisanel, who holds that the Ptur, or the Isur, I should say the Isur of Onen, depends upon the Kiyum Misaskus Bekfuras Ames, and therefore it depends whether he's being Machshech Al Atchum. If he is, then we understand very well the Reisha, that there is Aninus on Shabbos, because he is being machshech al tchum. However, the Sefer is talking about a case where he's not being machshech al tchum, and therefore he's not involved in his askus bekvuras ames. Good. Everything seems to be fine. Is he torah to be machshech al tchum, or is he not torah to be machshech al tchum? That would seem to be the healthy approach here of Rabbeinu Nisanel. But perhaps we can understand the Re if we go back to the first interpretation of the Yerushalmi. Do you remember that the Yerushalmi offered a first alternative as to why is it that the Onen is enjoined from doing mitzvahs? And what was the first interpretation? Let's review it. Mishum Kvodo Shel Mes, which we interpreted to mean the Chovas Kvura. Ah, Says the Ri, you know what? Maybe the Yerushalmi adopts that position, that aninus is engendered by Chovas Kvura. And here we have a machlokas. Pligia Adote. Is there a Chovas Kvura on Shabbos and Yom Tov? What are the two ways of looking at it? What would be your knee-jerk response? Is there a Chovas Kvura on Shabbos and Yom Tov?
No.
How can we possibly impose a Chiv Kvura on Shabbos and Yom Tov if there's no possibility of being mekayim that mitzvah of Kvura?
There is.
Oh. What is it, Michael?
What we just said about going to the Machshechal
Tchum. Could be Machshechal Tchum. So perhaps the machlokes between the Reish and the Seif, according to the Ri, is that I grant you that the reason why a person is an Onein and is enjoyed from mitzvahs is because of the Chovas Kvura. And here we have a fundamental machlokes between the Reish and the Seif. Is there a Chovas Kvura on Shabbos V'yantif? The Reish is of the opinion that yes, there is a Chovas Kvura on Shabbos V'yantif. Haraya, there are things that you can do in order to prepare for Kvura. But the Seifa is of the opinion that there's no Aninus on Shabbos V'yantif because there's no Chovas Kvura. And why is there no Chovas Kvura? Although you can make preparatory steps, we'll call it a Hechsher Mitzvah, but you cannot involve yourself in the Gufa Shel Mitzvah. And Kvura therefore is excluded. And Achinami, the Onein in this case is not an Onein because he doesn't have the Chovas Kvura. On the other hand, if Lu Yitzuyer, he's involved in Kvura, for example, if he's being machshechal atchum, then enochinami on that at that moment of his askus, he would be potter from the mitzvahs, but he's not an onen. And the nafkamina is going to be twofold. Number one, what about the rest of Shabbos? Let's say, for example, when can you be machshechal atchum? Only a minute before Motzai Shabbos. I don't mean a minute literally, but whatever time it takes, you know, minus going backwards from Shabbos in order to be Machshech al Tchum, that's when he's involved in preparing for the Kvura. So at that point, he's Oseik B'Kvura. But if you're going to tell me no, that according to the ratio, he's an Onen, it means the entire Shabbos he's an Onen. And notice that the Reish of the Braisa doesn't distinguish between the beginning of Shabbos and the end of Shabbos, the beginning of Yontif or the end of Yontif. He's potter from Tkiyas Shofar. You see, according to the Sefer, he would only be potter from Tkiyas Shofar in the following scenario. Let's say there was no Shofar in the morning. And when did they finally find the Shofar? Towards the end of Yontif. In such a case, you would say that he's potter from Tkiyas Shofar because then at that moment, if he decides to do so, he's being machshech al tchum, he's osek b'mitzvah. But not midin onen. And the second afkamina would be that according to the Reisha, he's enjoined from doing mitzvahs for the entirety of Shabbos, entirety of Yontif, whereas according to the Sefer, he's not enjoined from doing mitzvahs. If he can somehow be machshech al tchum, and at the same time he can, you know, mumble a bracha or recite Kriyat Shema, then enochinami, he's allowed to do both. Ah, so let's just review Rav Hosai. Because before we go on, I want to show you something in the Rush that's very fascinating. We can summarize the machlokas between the Ri and Rabbeinu Nisanel in the following way. We start with Rabbeinu Nisanel. Rabbeinu Nisanel is the simple approach. The Yerushalmi is the premise of the Yerushalmi is like the second interpretation of Aninus, namely that Misha no se maso, ain't lo Misha no se maso. What engenders Aninus? It's the his askus, it's the kium of Kvura. And the Yerushalmi has no stira between the Reish and the Braisa, says Rabbeinu Nisanel, because in both the Reish and the Sefer, the question is one and only one: is he being Osek B'Kvura or not? In the Reisha, we're talking about a case where he is being Osek B'Kvura through Hichshech Olav Esatchum, and that engenders Aninus. The Sefer, on the other hand, is talking about a case where he's not being Choshech Machshech Al Tchum, and therefore there is no Elo Misha Yiso Maso, and hence there is no Aninus. That's the approach of Rabbeinu Nisanel. The Ri, on the other hand, says that there's no way of reconciling the Reish and the Sefer, because there is a Machlokes between the two. And the machlokas revolves around the first interpretation of the Yerushalmi, namely, mitnei kvodo shel mes, which we interpreted to identify, that is identical with kvuras ames. And now the Yerushalmi wants to know, and this is the machlokas in the Reish and the Sefer, and the Reish and the Sefer Abrais and the Bavli, what is the nature of the din of kvura and the chovas kvura on Shabbos and Yontif? Is there a chovas kvura or is there no chovas kvura? And here the Ri says that it all depends upon whether there's a possibility of being machshech al tchum or not. Again, keep in mind, Rabbeinu Nesanel goes very far here, because according to Rabbeinu Nesanel, in picking up the second interpretation of Yishalmi, would postulate that even if on Shabbos there is no chovas kvura, Rabbeinu Nesanel is not willing to go as far as the Ri is concerned and assume that there may be a Chovas Kvura on Shabbos. There's no Chovas Kvura on Shabbos. But if we go with the second interpretation of Yerushalmi, it all depends upon what? Yesh lo misha nosei maso, ein lo misha yisa maso. Is there is askus b'kvura, is it not? And therefore, says Rabbeinu Nesanel, I have no problem reconciling the Reish and the Sefer. It all depends upon whether or not he's befall in actuality being osei b'mes or not. If he's being osik b'mes and he's potim in a mitzvah, it's like a nosei amito we had in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis at the beginning of that perek, that the nosei amito pturim from a mitzvah, even though they don't have a din of an onen. There it's simply because of his askus b'mitzvah. That's the way the Yerushalmi should be understood in the Reisha, according to Rabbeinu Nesanel. There's a din of his askus b'kfura, and here if you're one of the Zion Krovim and you have his askus b'kfura, that engenders the din of Aninus. Yes?
The one thing I find a little bit hard to understand is after the Re, he's saying that his askus is what determines whether he has a chova or not. I mean, that's like the cart before the horse.
Yes, it's very, very difficult. The first sad in the Yerushalmi, the Reisha, as we call it, is very difficult. It's a far out position. I can only sort of smooth it a little bit or soften it a little by saying that the Yerushalmi understands that machshech olavas atchum is not some sort of separate halacha, independent of kvura. It's essential and it's part of the mitzvah of kvura itself. Alternatively, if I want to soften, I can say the following. What happens when you have a clash between a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh? Let's say in a case where we don't apply the principle of esei docha lo saseh. Like for example, the mitzvah of kvura is a great mitzvah, but it's not docha Shabbos. Shabbos is an iser kares, iser misa, and kvura is one of the lamed tes melach. So what do we say in such a case? So there are two ways of interpreting it. The pashtus is to say, and this is intuitively logical, that the Torah cannot possibly impose upon me an obligation if I have no, within the halachic system, I have no way of implementing that mitzvah. The other way is to saying it is differently. No. You know what? The mitzvah applies even on Shabbos. There are many mitzvahs that could be fulfilled, except that Shabbos comes along. Well, bris milah the Torah allows on Shabbos, but let's say milah shalom bismana, right? So what do we say about milah shalom bismana? It's the ninth day. Are we saying that there's no chiv milah at all on Shabbos, or are we saying that there's a chiv milah, just that that milah clashes with Isra Shabbos, so I have a barrier, and therefore I cannot fulfill the mitzvah? And then afkamina is going to be aninus. If we're going to say that really there is essentially inherent in Shabbos a chiv kvura, it's really inherent in the day. It's below the surface. We don't see it because we know that, practically speaking, he cannot fulfill this mitzvah. Then there is aninus, because aninus, according to the Kvod HaShomesh, means that you're involved in the Chiyuv Kvura. And that would be, according to the Re, the Reisha, the approach of the Re. Comes along Alan, Dr. Alan, and he asked me the following kasha, and it's a good kasha. How could you possibly impose upon him a chiyuv kvura, you know, this abstract idea of a chiyuv kvura, which engenders aninus, when on the same time you're robbing from him any expression of that, any implementation of that chiyuv kvura? You know, you're saying A and not A at the same time. Dover v. Fucho. Yeah, it's a chiyuv kvura, but you can't be mekayim that chiyuv kvura. That's Dover v. Foucault. That's A and not A at the same time. It's a ridiculous empty set. So I think what the Yerushalmi is saying here is I'm going to demonstrate to you that there is a Chiyuv Kvura. even on Shabbos. Again, it's below the surface, it's inherent. Elo, what? You can't be Mekayim the Chiyuv Kfura because of the Isur Shabbos. And the answer is, if we could find one Isur Shabbos, however, shall I say, lightweight it is, but nevertheless it's an Isur Shabbos, and it could be overridden and trumped by the mitzvah of Kfura, that itself proves my point, says the Reisha, that there is a Chiyuv Kfura on Shabbos. Now, what kind of Isur can be pushed aside, even though it's an Isur Shabbos, for the sake of what? Of the mitzvah of Kvura. The answer is Tchum. We don't allow you to violate this Isur of Tchum. And yet, for the sake of the mitzvah of Kvura, we're going to allow you to do that. Now again, I'm not saying that he's violating the Isur Doraisa of Tchumin, but he certainly is violating the Isur Hachana on Shabbos. Again, now we have to go back to our drawing board in Mukta and begin to see what exactly is the have to prepare on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, but not on Shabbos itself. Whether that's a Doraisa or a Darabonin, I don't know. But be that as it may, it is an involvement in the mitzvah of Kfura. Says the Reisha that if there's an involvement in the mitzvah of Kfura on Shabbos, it must be because there's a Chovas Kfura on Shabbos. The Sefer is not willing to tolerate that. Because the Chovas Kfura has to express itself in tachlis terms in bearing the mess. So Alan, with your permission, only because we're pressed for time, we meet twice a week, I just want to move on to the Rush. The Rush says something amazing. Again, it depends on how you read the Rush, but at least one way of reading the Rush. The Rush wants to distinguish between Yontif and Shabbos. This is not something that we saw in Tosfos. In Tosfos, you might say that there's a machlokes, as the Ri would have, between the Reish and the Sefer, but it would mean that the Reish is consistent and there would be aninus both on Yontif and on Shabbos. The Sefer rejects that. And even in Rabbeinu Nesanel, there's no distinction here between Shabbos and Yontif. It all boils down to the question whether he's Torah and being machshech al tchum. Counsel on the Rush. And he wants to suggest that Yontif is different. Why is Yontif different? And the Rush gives the following answer. The halacha is, mutal lekovra b'yontif al yidei amamim, which means that you can actually fulfill the mitzvah of Kvura on Yontif. Again, you yourself will not dig the kever, but who will dig the kever on your behalf? Rabbi will say, what does Amamin mean? The Goyim. The Goyim will do the job. Today, I can tell you about America. I don't know how it is in other countries. It's always the Goyim who do the job. Here, on the other hand, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not just the Jews who do the job. It's, you know, these hailing of Jews from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, you know. The Prushim, I'm not going to give you a history of my family, but we have a lot of stories to tell about the Prushim and the Chevra Kadisha here in Yerushalayim. But be that as it may, he says the following. On the second line, he says, "Kol dine aninus noegbo." He says, on Yontif, all the laws of aninus should be noeg. But Shabbos, he says, "Ein kovin asop Shabbos." You can't even appoint the amamin to do the job for you, and therefore there's no chiyuv kfura. So this is fascinating, Alan, because the Rush, in a certain sense, is going to solve your problem. How can there be a Chiyuv Kfura on Shabbos? And the answer is, there is no Chiyuv Kfura on Shabbos. But Yontif, he wants to claim, there is a Chiyuv Kfura. And why is there a Chiyuv Kfura on Yontif? Because you can actually fulfill the Chiyuv Kfura. I mean, you can actually bury the dead on Yontif. I never saw this in my life. But you saw on Yontif itself?
Second day.
Oh, we're coming to the second day. Wait, Avi, hold on a minute. Hold your horses. I'm talking about the first day of Yontif. I've never seen it done. But again, the Lorinu and Araya, you know, maybe somewhere, I don't know, in India they do this. I don't know where they do it. Maybe somewhere in the face of the earth they do this. Oh, he says the following, says the Rosh. If there's a Choves Kvura on Yontif, even though he himself is not being Osek in the Kvura, because he's giving it over to whom? To the Amamin. Nevertheless, the Chiyuv Kvura itself engenders Aninus, and there's full-fledged Aninus on Yontif, with an Isur, Mitzvahs, and Brachas, and so forth. So it's fascinating to me that the Rush is accepting what I think is the first interpretation of the Yerushalmi. Excuse me, the second interpretation of the Yerushalmi. That what engenders aninus? It's not the chovas kvura that engenders the aninus. It is the No, I'm sorry. I meant to say the first. I got it right the first time. You see, you should always always say it like the first time. It's the first interpretation of the Yerushalmi, the way you interpret it. Kvodo shalmes, meaning that if there's a chovas kvura, that itself engenders aninus. I, the second interpretation, Shalmi is saying, but ein lo misha yisam aso. Here it's the amamin who are involved in the hisaskus and the kiyum kvur befal. The answer is that the Rush adopts the shita of the first interpretation of the Yerushalmi, namely that it all depends upon chovas kvur. And on yontif, as opposed to Shabbos, there is a chovas kvur. Now, Avi, we come to your point. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Avelus in Simon Shin Mem Aleph paskins the following: Ubishabes v'yontif ochel basar v'shoseh yayin u'mevarech v'chayev b'chol ha-mitzvus. Okay, fine. We're not going to get into Tashna Mita. I think in the past we've discussed this. V'im tzorech lahachshech al atchum. He's talking about Shabbos now. K'dei lasok b'tzorchei ames, chalalov aninus le'yaser b'kula mishoshe hischilu hischil oleches k'dei lahachshech al atchum. So I would suggest the following: that at this particular point, it would seem that the Shulchan Aruch accepts the second interpretation of the Yerushalmi, namely what engenders aninus. It's this askus b'kfura. And therefore, the Rush says that from the moment that the onen, that the relative is befal, being osek bekfura, namely, it's at the end of Shabbos and he's machshech al tchum, at that moment, aninus begins. Oh. What about yontif? Says the Rush, v'imrotze lekovro b'yontif rishon, al yedei amamin, asur bekulon. Now notice, there's a chain. Before we get to Yontif Sheni, right, let's take a deep breath and push off Yontif Sheni for a minute, because that's really the punchline of our discussion. But before we get to that, I want to make an important point, I think. There's a Shinui language here, Shinui Lashon in the Rush. When the Rush speaks about Shabbos and the possibility of Aninus b'Shabbos, he writes, Mishoshe Hischil Oleches Kedei Lahachshech Al Atchum. Meaning we postpone the aninus until the end of Shabbos. When I mean the end of Shabbos, you know what I mean by the end of Shabbos, right? But when he gets to Yontif, interesting how his language changes. He doesn't mention Mishosh Eschilu Ha'amimin Likvaris Meso, but instead he shifts his language. He says, Imrotze Likovro B'Yontif Ayidei Amimin. And I would submit to you the following conclusion: that the Shulchan Aruch is adopting both positions of the Yerushalmi. There are two alternative ways in which you can engender aninus. One way is his askus bekvura, and that could apply even on Shabbos. Although there's no chovas kvura on Shabbos, there is potentially his askus bekvura, and that's from the moment that he's maskil aleches kedei lahachshech al atchum at the end of Shabbos. But I think in the case of Yontif, he's adopting the first opinion, the first approach of the Yerushalmi, kvodo shalmes, meaning the chovas kvura. Because here he drops the ball on Mishoshe Hischil, etc., and he just says, Rotza. If he's decided on Yontif that he is going to bury the dead, and he goes about making whatever arrangements are necessary for, I don't know, for the Italian, chapel to do the burial, that itself engenders aninus without having to add the clause of Mishoshe Hischil. I'm just suggesting a possibility. Oh, but now we get to Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni, he has here a kolshke, and he says shahu atzmo yochol lekovro is chalu olav kol dine aninus. Okay, now here he has a kolshke, but he adds a very important point, and that is, says the Shulchan Aruch, hu bi atzmo yochol lekovro. Now again, the Shulchan Aruch does not insist that he's actually burying the dead. But He insists that he has the potential within the halachic system of involving himself in burying the dead. Isn't that a pella? Yontif Sheni, you're allowed to bury the dead? And the answer is yes. You're allowed to bury the dead in Yontif. And here, Avi, I don't know, I hope we're not referring to the same story, but I don't know, where did you see it?
Mr. Balabas, where I used to live.
Okay, so in Har Nof, unfortunately, this many, many years ago, there was a child who was killed on Rosh Hashanah. It was a tragic accident, and they buried him on Yom Tov Sheni, on Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But whatever it is, whether it's theoretical or practical, there is a halacha that the dead could be buried on Yom Tov Sheni. What's the source for this halacha, Rav Oskar? Do you have the page?
Yeah.
What's the source for this halacha? I don't know how far you got in the page.
Gemara in Beitza.
Gemara in Beitza, correct. Amar Rav, Mes b'yontif Rishon, Yis'asku bo amamin. Mes b'yontif Sheni, Yis'asku bo Yisrael. Afilu b'shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. My timer. Yontif Sheni Legabi Mes. There's a letter that I think I erased it. It should say Kechol Shavyuhu Rabbanan. Now, the language of the Gemara, Kechol Shavyuhu Rabbanan, is very dramatic. Kechol Shavyuhu Rabbanan. See, if the Gemara would have said that Yontif Sheni is what I say, Sveika Dioma. And the Gemara says in Masechet Beitz and Avdala that today we don't even have a Sveika Dioma. Because we have the calendar of Hillel Sheni, we know exactly which day is Yontif. But nevertheless, Minigav Hoseinu Biyodeinu. So you could have said, okay, you know what? The Iser of Yontif Sheni is Kal compared to Yontif Rishon. And therefore will be dochef Yontif Sheni for the sake of the mitzvah of Kvura. But Reb Chaim Brisker was medayik in the Lashon HaGemara that it says Kechol Shavyuhu Rabbanan.
What does that mean?
As far as Yontif Sheni is concerned, for the sake of Kvura, they made it into Chol. It's unbelievable. We're not saying that, you know, we're going to judge and weigh the balancing of, you know, the mitzvah of Kvura versus the Yisur Malacha and Yontif in the case of Yontif Sheni. No, that's not what we're doing. This is not a balancing act. We're not trying to determine in the overall system of priorities which is more chomer from which. We're going a step further. And we're saying that Kechol Shavyu Rabbanan. And Rebbe told us in the name of his father, Rabbi Moshe, that standing on the shoulders of his father, Rabbi Chaim, Rabbi Moshe used to go very far. He would say that when they established Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, they went through all the Surim of Yontif Rishon, like a checklist, and they decided which ones they would impose on Yontif Sheni and which ones they were left out. In other words, there was not an automatic assumption that the Kedusha Sayyom, and therefore the Surim that emanate from the Kedusha Sayyom of Yontif Sheni are identical to Yontif Rishon. We're just cutting and pasting, we're making a duplicate of Yontif Rishon and imposing it and grafting it onto Yontif Sheni. That's not so. Kechol Shavyu Rabbanan means they left it out. And what do I mean by they left it out? The Iser Kvura, as far as burying the dead, all the Isurim involved, the Gemara even says that they used to sometimes beautify the burial ground with certain foliage. Again, today it's a shaila of Chukas HaGoyim, but the Goyim got it from us, you should know. Like 90%, okay, well, whatever. So the Gemara says you're even allowed to cut down these foliages on Yontif Sheni for the sake of Kvod HaShomes, of burying the dead. So Michael, just hold on for 1 second because I'm going to lose my trend here. Oh, so what did Rav Moshe say? He said that there's, in Halacha we have two conceptual mechanisms. We have what's called Dechiyah and we have what's called Hutra. Excellent. For example, The Gemara in Masechta Yevamos says that Esei Docha Losaseh is only Dechuya. It means that really the Losaseh is being violated here. But we're doing it for the sake of a greater good. The ends justify the means. But we're going to violate a Losaseh for the sake of an Esei. That's called Esei Docha Losaseh. And the Gemara therefore says, in Efshal Lekayimus Esei without the Chiyas Losaseh, if you can stand on your head and backwards, you can do an act in which you can have your cake and eat it, you can accomplish the Esei without violating the Losaseh, then we don't say Esei Docha Losaseh. That's the Sugi Yivamas Chav Beis. I think I, on Daf Chav Amid Beis, I didn't spell out the Sugi for you here on the page because it's a humongous Sugi. And if you were preparing properly this Maamar Makomos pages, then you'd be here for a month preparing the sugya on Yevamos Daf Chav. In some yeshivas, by the way, they are so afraid of Masechta Yevamos that they start on Daf Chav. You know, figure, let's break the guys in easy. Because it's a very beautiful sugya there about Esei Docha Losaseh. So that's called Dechuya. But what about Kvuras HaMes Al Yedei Yisrael on Yontif Sheni? Said Rav Moshe, that's not Dechuya, that's Hutra. Hutra means we're not violating Yontif and trampling its Kedusha by desecrating it through acts of Kvuras HaMes and all that's involved. No, there's no desecration. The Kedushas Hayom of Yontif Sheni as opposed to Yontif Rishon does not extend and does not include the acts of Kvura. The acts of Kvura were outside the pale of Yontif Sheni and the Kedushas Hayom. So in other words, Rabosai, Hutra Dechuya means two things that far, very far removed, fundamentally different. Dechuya means that the Kedush Sayom is all-encompassing, it's identical to that of Yontif Rishon. But we're going to be Doche Yontif for the sake of Kvura, and we're going to have to premise that, you know, Yontif Sheni is a little bit more Kal than Yontif Rishon, and therefore, in this balance, we're going to override Yontif Sheni for the sake of Kvura. Nein, says Rabosha. What Rav Chaim was medayik is, if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch that we saw before, when he says Kol Shkem B'Yontif Sheni, Shehu B'Atzma Yochel L'Kovro V'Cholol of Kol Dine Avelus Aninus, excuse me, says Rav Chaim what it means is that in the case of Yontif Sheni, there is Aninus automatically. It doesn't matter whether he can be Machshech HaTchum, he can't be Machshech HaTchum, whether I can find Amamin or he can't find Amamin. It's all irrelevant. Why? Because there is a mitzvah of Kvuras HaMes on Yontif Sheni. Period. The mitzvah of Kvuras HaMes is Chal on Yontif Sheni, just like a day of Chol. And Rav Moshe said that he thinks that Rav Chaim based himself on this Gemara, in Beitza. Now, Michael, you could ask me a question because at least I'm halfway there. You know, I have a point in which I can pause.
So you can be Yontif.
Yeah. So again, this is the point that we're trying to avoid, Michael. The Chiddush of Rab Chaim and Rab Moshe is that you're not being Mechal Yontif at all. That, I'm talking about Yontif Sheni. When they designed, you know, sometimes you have an Isur and then you can allow violation of the Isur. That's called Dechuya. But sometimes what you have is that there was never an Isur to begin with. For example, I'm giving a chabura on Tarovas today. So sometimes, let's say, Basa B'cholov, if a very small amount of meat was cooked with milk, is according to Shitas HaTosfos, you don't have to come on to the din of Bittel. It's not even Basa B'cholov, because Derech Bishol has been told, that's not called Bishol. You know, sometimes you add bishul, but there's a tam of basar which is batel. That's called dine bitel. That's like dechuya. But sometimes there's not even basar b'chol to begin with. I don't need to be docha. Okay, so that's for my chulin.
This obviously applies to the seven chromos.
Correct.
But what about the chevur kedisha, for instance? I mean, who drives the body to the...
Correct, the Chevur Kedisha, the same thing applies. Okay. And from soup to nuts, from A to Z, it's Hutra. There's no Dechuya here. There's no Kedushas Yontif as far as Kvura and all the process, you know...
Who does it extend to? How many people...
Whoever is necessarily involved in guaranteeing the Kvura. Anyone who's guaranteeing that the Kvura... Now, you can talk about Nicham Avelim, that's a little different. I'm talking about Nosei HaMes. You know, I wouldn't violate Yontif Sheni for the sake of Nicham Avelim. Kalim. But as far as Nesias Hames, Levias Hames is Nicham Avelim. You know, yeah, that's what I would say. I mean, we have to go through the halachas. But yeah, Daniel, what do you want to say?
In the case of the bringing of Rav Moshe, there was matanim.
Oh, I'm about to read that.
The whole big thing. It's about that they have a habayit on, but were they all
right? I don't think that they violated Yom Tov Sheni. I don't think so. I don't know that detail is left out of the story. So let's go. The Rav in one of his Yartzeit Shiurim, and you know the Yartzeit Shiurim, I think number at least 40. And they split into two books, two volumes. The piece that we're seeing now is actually from Chelek Aleph. Do you see, I wrote to you on the page, Shirim Lezecher Mori, Abba Mori, Chelek Aleph, and I told you it's on page 125. Now, technically, if somebody else would have been writing this, they wouldn't have written page 125. I have the old edition of the Shirim Lezecher. Nobody uses it anymore. Now, I have to tell you the truth. I never understood why they republished it. There's no malusa. I didn't even bother spending a couple of bucks to buy the second volume. But maybe I should have, because then I would have the pagination right for everybody. But I have the old edition, which I have in front of me. And it's a little bit hard to read some of the writings here on this page, because it's full of notes. I'm not going to tell you who wrote those.
No,
notes,
I was just going to ask you who read it to.
Who what?
Who
that's a out? Big question. It's,
is that the one that...
This is a whole issue.
And the family took it back?
No. That's called Beis Midrash Shel HaRav. That's Rav Lichtenstein found, you know, found a legal lawsuit. He had a lawsuit against, you know, all these booksellers that were selling a contraband, you know, an illegal book called Beis Midrash Shel HaRav. Don't get me off on a tangent, because I want to tell you about that, but not for now. Okay, so what happens over here in Rassayim? Keep in mind, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was the successor of Rav Lapidos, who was the Rav Rassayim. Rassayim in Litta was a very chash of a rabbonis.
This is after Chasalovich?
This is before Chaslovich. He left Rassayim because of terrible wars that were going on in that area. I mean, people packed out. And he took a Rabbonus in Chaslovich. He was in Chaslovich for a longer period of time than Rassayim. But you know, those who want to rewrite history, and they write Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and then they give him a title, they say, Abezdin Rassayim, because that's kosher. But the truth is, he was at YU for 14 years. You know, so those who rewrite history forget that detail. He was in Rassayim for about a year, I think. But anyway, what happened in Rassayim during the year or so that he was the Rav? The Av Bezdin of Rassayim, of the Dayanim, passed away on Erev Shavuos. And they could have buried the dead, but nobody would have shown up. It was literally the last minute before the Chag. So Rav Moshe Paskind that they should delay the Kvura until Yontif Sheni, for the sake of Kvodo Shalmes. There are a host of issues here in Rav Moshe's Psak, but the most serious of them, which really incurred everybody wrote Shuvis and everybody, there was a hullabaloo in Litta at that point, is because the halacha of Kovrinus HaMes al Yidei Yisrael B'Yontif Sheni should only apply, they claimed, against Rav Moshe, when it's impossible to be Kovr the Mes and be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kvura without a Yisrael. And therefore they insisted. Okay, so wait a minute. I have to tell you, I left out an important point. In Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim, in Hilchus Yontif, Siman Tov Kuf Chav Dalet, there's a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah about whether or not we will bury the dead through Jews on Yontif Sheni if we can get Goyim to do the burial. And that machlokas itself really is this machlokas that we're talking about, whether the din of Yontif Sheni Lagabi Kfura is Hutra or Dchuya. If it's Dchuya, then if you can do it with Goyim, then you should do it through Goyim. If it's Hutra, you do it through Yisrael. And Rav Moshe understood, based on his father Rav Chaim, that it was Hutra, and therefore it would be done through Yisrael. But Rav Moshe went one step further. He said it was so Hutra that we could postpone the Kvura for the sake of Kvodo Shalmes, to enhance the Kvura, to Yontif Sheni Shalgolis. We could take a Kvura that would have been achieved or accomplished on Erev Yontif, and push it off to Yontif Sheni. And that's what they got all upset about, because they felt that we cannot l'chatchila choose Yontif Sheni for Kvura if we can avoid doing so and be mekayim the mitzvah of Kvura, albeit with less of a kvod shel mes, on Erev Yontif. So Rav Moshe apparently got very nervous about this whole thing, and he wrote a letter to his father, to Reb Chaim, asking for his father to give him chizuk, to give him an approbation, an approval for his psak, and he didn't get an answer. Now, in the Soloveitchik family, if you don't get an answer, yesh dvar mego, you know. So when he finally got to Brisk, he asked his father, "Why didn't you answer my question?" So his father said the following, that in truth you're right, I agree with you about the concept of Kvuras HaMes on Yontif Sheni, it's Hutra. But the only question I have is, for what mess? Is it for any mess? And Reb Chaim vacillated, perhaps it's only a specific mess. And which mess is it? And here, Mitch, I think you mentioned it before. The mess is that subject to what, Isser?
Lo Tolin.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Lo Tolin. Here in Yerushalayim, as you all know, they bury the dead on Yontif. I'm sorry, what did I say? I'm a little bit befuddled.
They bury
the dead at night. Why do we bury the dead at night here in Yontif? My father, for example, was buried at night. The answer is because of Bal Tolin. Bal Tolin means that you cannot postpone overnight the burial of the dead. By the way, up north, right near Haifa, there is a town. What's it called? Oof. Oh, it's mamash at the tip of my tongue. No. Right near Haifa, it's almost part of Haifa. It's a religious moshav. What's it called? No. Kiryat something or other. The Krayot, you know, the outside of this. So anyway, in one of the Krayot, I'll get you the name.
Kiryat Ata.
That's it. You saved me because it was driving me crazy. In Kiryat Ata, I was at a levi at night, because in Kiryat Ata they follow Minig Yerushalayim. They bury at night. And the reason for the... What's the rush? Why do you bury at night? And it's such a hassle. Sometimes they'll bury a crazy... Rapanis, for example, buried his father in Yerushalayim at 1 in the morning. And the reason they do it is because of this Iser Bal Tol. Outside of Yerushalayim, and certainly in Chutzar, it's the Mekil, and they feel that you can push aside the Bal Tolin. Sometimes for legal reasons, Dina Malchus Dina, sometimes because of Kod Ames, that more people come. But here in Yerushalayim, they're very makar. And that's the Ikar Adin. The Ikar Adin is like it is in Yerushalayim. In other words, all the minhagim that we have outside Yerushalayim all reflect kulas that do not really, you know, reflect the Ikar Adin. In any event. So Reb Chaim was of the opinion, he wasn't sure about it, that perhaps the reason why they were matir kfura, the Rava in the Gemara Beitza was matir kfura on Yontif Sheni, is in order to avoid the violation of Bal Tol. So what does it mean? It means that the mess died on the first day of Yontif, or towards the end of the first day of Yontif, entering into Yontif Sheni. And we're in a choice situation. Would we postpone the kfura, or would we not postpone the kfura? And according to, again, this particular approach of Reb Chaim vacillated, Rava went back and forth, and he thought the following. Perhaps we could be matir kfura on Yontif Sheni carte blanche, or no. We will be matir kfura on Yontif Sheni for the sake of avoiding the violation of Bal Tol. If we can avoid the violation of Bal Tolin without being kover the mess on Yontif, then there would be no matir, as we called it, hutra, to bury the dead on Yontif Sheni. Again, we're talking about with Yisraelim. Again, with Amamin, we could do it even on Yontif Rishon. But I'm talking about with Yisrael. Oh. So Rav Chaim therefore never answered Rav Moshe. He never actually gave him the support that he needed, because he had hesitations. He was inhibited. He thought perhaps in the case of the Dayan who died on Erev Shavuos in Rasayin, there was no heter to bury the Dayan with Yisraelim, with Jews, on Yom Tov Sheni. Why? Because there was no violation of Bal Tullin necessary. You know, you could have had your cake and eat it too. You could decover the mess without violating Bal Tullin. Meaning, if you would have had a situation where there was no way out, let's say, for example, the person died at night and you'll have to violate Bal Tullin, then bury him at night for the sake of avoiding Bal Tullin, even on Yom Tov Sheni, even with Yisrael. So again, what tips the scale here in the battle, the confrontation between violating Yom Tov Sheni and Kvuras HaMes? The Iser Bal Tullin. So to avoid the Iser Bal Tullin, that's the ultimate Kvodo Shel Mes, which permits violating Yom Tov Sheni with Yisraelim without violating Yom Tov, because it's Hutra. But if there's no consideration here of Bal Tullin, take a look inside, he says, Perish Hamila Mes Hanimasha Ovrim Olav Iser Bal Tullin Lachain Kemen Shano Omri Bin Ogel Eschar Sochir Kemoshanu Omri Bin Ogel Eschar Sochir Ki Ovrolav Rak Belaila Rishon Bilvad. Oh, this is unbelievable. Rav Chaim's Pekiyas here. Let's say you fail to pay your workers on time. So the halacha is, if a night goes by in which you delay, then you violate the Iser Bal Tullin. Bal Tullin is always an Iser that applies to a Laila. Right? Like for example, in Achilles Kodshin, there's halacha Bal Tullin. In Schar Sochir, Tashlumei Schar Sochir. And also in the case of Kfuras HaMes. So he says the following. He says the halacha is that you only violate Bal Tullin in the case of Schar Sochir on the first night. And so too, Bal Tullin, in the case of delaying a Kvura, only applies to the first night. And therefore he says that if you would avoid Bal Tullin, let's say for example, in the case of the Dayan, if you would, let's say, bury the dead Erev Yontif, which would avoid Bal Tullin, or even the night of Yontif, but that you can't do with Yisraelim, because that was never mutter, and they didn't have Amamin. So if, in theory though, according to Reb Chaim, if you could have, let's say, skipped over Yom Tov Rishon, in other words, if on Yom Tov Rishon you could have buried the dead, on Leil Rishon, and that way save yourself from violating the Kvod Shel Mes of Bal Tullin, then it would be Hutra. And then we wouldn't make these cheshbonos, well, you know, why are we postponing it? Let's bury it before Yom Tov. Those cheshbonos would fall off. That's only to avoid what? Bal Tullin. But if in this case the Bal Tullin was already violated, you know, it's fafalin, there's no way you could avoid Bal Tullin because the first night is already passed, meaning the night of Yom Tov. So then in that case, we don't have the hutra of Yom Tov Sheni, and therefore you have to bury the dead on Erev Yom Tov. And since Reb Chaim wasn't sure which mess is Shavu Rabbanon Kechol, is it any mess, or is it only a mess that's subject to Bal Tullin, and we can circumvent Bal Tullin by burying the dead in Yom Tov Sheni? Therefore, Reb Chaim never gave Reb Moshe his haskama to approve this psak halacha. Now the Taz, I just want to mention the Taz. You remember that we quoted the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Avelus Simon Shin Mem Aleph. So I want to add the Taz there in Sifkot and Gimel, says that Dini Avelus that Achal on Yom Tov Sheni im Rotza Likvar Es Meso Bioso Ayom, says the Taz, the Dini Aninus Achal on Leil Yom Tov Sheni. Why? Because I'm sorry, the Dine Aninus are not Chal on the night of Yom Tov Sheni, says the Taz, because we don't bury at night. So you see very clearly that the Taz is learning that the halacha of Yontif Sheni depends upon whether or not we actually bury the dead, whether it's the minhag to bury the dead or not. There's not some sort of automatic, absolute halacha in Aninus, that Aninus is always chal on Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. That's not true according to the Taz. There are other considerations that have to take place. For example, do we bury the dead or do we not? And if we don't bury the dead and Mekayim Mitzvahs Kvur at night, then there's no din of Aninus.
Like the Taz
is learning that it's Dchuya and not Hutra. I just want to point that out to you. Alright, so at the end of this page, we don't have much time, we get into the next part of Tosfos. And Tosfos here, at the Chayne Ipcha, Tosfos assumes the following, that Aninus depends upon his askus b'tzorche ames. As long as he's being osek b'tzorche ames, then he's an onen. However, if he's in his house, and I'm sorry, if he's in jail and he has no way of getting out of jail, and or if, let's say, the mess is in jail, the body of the mess, and the moshel does not allow them to bury the mess, so Tosfos postulates that in that case he's not osek b'tzorchei ames, and therefore paka minei dinei aninus, he's no longer aninus. He's no longer an onen. So it seems that Tosfos adopts the second approach of the Yushalmi, that the din of aninus is engendered by his askus b'mes. But if you have no intention of being osik b'mes, either because you can't get out of jail or the body of the dead can't get out of jail and the Moshel is not letting anyone bury the dead, so in such a case, paka minei dinei aninus, you're not an onen. Then Tosfos says, but as far as Avelus is concerned, you begin your Avelus without Aninus. Why? Because Avelus depends not upon his askus, the mess, but on kiyum mitzvahs kvura. And Tosfos says that there's halach of hichzir panav min ames. What is hichzir panav min ames? At the very moment that the situation, the mitzvah is such that you cannot involve yourself in kvura. For example, let's say they take the mess to burial in a different city and you can't be involved.
You stay in America and the body
right. Correct. Or, for example, let's say the Moshel will not allow the body of the dead to be buried. Mm-hmm. In all these cases, Tosfos says that's called hichzer panav min ames, and immediately Avelus begins. Why? Because Tosfos holds that Avelus usually begins with Kvura, with Stimas HaGolel, right. In a case where you've done the maximum that you could, and beyond this is no possibility of Kvura, that itself is Kvura. That's called Stimas HaGolel al pi halacha. And that engenders Avelus. So it's very fascinating that according to Tosfos, there are literally Svei Dinim here. There are two Dinim that are fundamentally different. There's one Din of Aninus, and there's another din of Avelus. With regard to Aninus, we need his askus bekvura. And in this case where there's no possibility of his askus bekvura, let's say the extreme case where they won't allow the body to be buried, then Aninus is completely skipped over. You know, we do a Pesach on Aninus.
One of the guys asked, what happens if the Moshel changes his mind after you omit Avelus?
So let's go slowly. So now there is no what? There's no Aninus. Why? Because Tosfos holds Aninus means his askus b'kvura, and there's no his askus b'kvura. But Avelus will begin, because Avelus has nothing to do with his askus b'kvura. What clinches Avelus? Kvuras ames, stimas hagol. But here there's no possibility of stimas hagolel. So you begin counting Shiva from the moment, says Tosfos, of hichzir panov min ames. That itself is Stimas HaGolel. He was Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kvuras, insofar as whatever was incumbent upon him, he was Mekayim. What's the source for this halacha of Hichzir Panav Min Ames? And that's the last source on your page 1, the Gemara Moed Katan, where Rava turns to the Bnei Mechuza, and he says to them, Asun to lo aslisi bosa'ar, so you're not able to go and follow the coffin, you know, the mitah. is therefore michi mahadrisu apaychu mibava diavila. As soon as you turn your heads away from the base of El, meaning that's the place where they took the kever, they took the burial out. Aschilu manu. Rashi says aschilu manu. Start counting yimei avelus. The afal pishalo nikbar mes ad yomim rabim. It was a long haul until they could actually. It was a delay till they actually buried the dead. Is nevertheless. You can begin. You have to begin your avelus. The afal gavda avelus. There's a lumda shirashi where he asks the kashi and gives an answer. The afal gavda avelus einum chal ad sheyistom hagolel. Nevertheless, answers Rashi lididchu. This is what Rav was telling him. Delo michsi. You have no possibility. You're not roiv to the kvura to be metasik. Therefore, chazaroschem kinistam hagolel. So I love the Shirashi. Rashi says that as soon as you are machzir ponim, that itself is considered a kvura stimas hagolel, and therefore you start your avelus. Now, in the case where the mess is locked up in a jail, and the moshel doesn't want to give rights or allowance to bury the mess. In such a case, then it depends. There's a concept called hisyashu hakrovim milakovro. Meaning, if they gave up all hope that they will be able to somehow redeem the body of the dead, they gave up all hope, that's called yeush. Hisyashu milakovro. That itself is called a kira mitzvah kura. At that moment, we say it's what hichsaras part of its kistimas hagol, and they begin their avilus. But let's say lo hisyashu lekovo. They're still hoping. They're what's the phrase? Saving out hope. They're holding out hope. Whatever the phrase is, to bury the dead. Then in such a case, there's no chalos avilus, even though. At the same time, there's no aninus. There's no aninus because, according to Tosfos, they're not being osek b'mes. On the other hand, it's not his yashu, and therefore there's no hachzoras ponim that is considered like stima sagol, and there's no avel. So, Rabosa, I think every single scenario is possible. You can, in these two variables called aninus and avelus, you can have four possibilities. Check me out, I think I'm right, I hope I'm right. You can have the classical case where you have both aninus and following suit avelus, means that the onen is oseik bekfuras ames, and then following the kfura he becomes an avel. You can have aninus without avelus in the case where he hasn't yet buried the dead, or for example in the case where he's still negotiating to redeem the body that's been captured by the moshel, there will be aninus without avelus. You could have even avelus without aninus in a case where there's no possibility for the onen to be osek befoel in the kvura because it's already in other's hand, it's out of his hands. There won't be any aninus, but the very moment of yeush, and there's no hope for kvura, then we jump from the misa all the way over to avelus, skipping over aninus. So I think that every possible scenario applies.
Well, what about the possibility that later on, after you were miayish, and you were sitting on Avelis, and then suddenly, you know, something happened and you're now allowed to bury him, so now you become an onen, or you don't have
him? I don't think so. I think that the laws of Avelus will not be reversed once you start the Malos, because in Avelus everything depends on
right.
on counting the minion. So if you counted the minion because at that point there was no hope for Kvura, I don't think that we would undermine that minion even though we have a mitzvah of Kvura. Now, you're raising an interesting question, Alan. Would he be Osek b'mitzvah? I mean to say... What I mean to say is, would he be obligated in brachot? That's what I meant to say. Would he be osek in general mitzvahs right. if now he has a chovas kvura?
That would be totally.
No, I think it would. I think he would definitely have the category of osek mitzvah potmitz. He's no worse than no se hamita. But if you ask me, is there a possibility of beginning aninus now, such that he would be enjoined from doing mitzvahs?
That's right?
That I don't know. That was your question, Alan. That I don't know. I mean, can you have an overlap? In other words, I think the minyan of aninus of avelus, will continue till it reaches its termination at the seventh day. Can you superimpose aninus onto avelus? Just one minute. Wait, just give me 1 second to cry. I want to think about this for a second. Just 1 second. Yeah, what do you want to say? I have my halacha.
It sounded like when we were learning the Rambam, we were learning that aninus is just a specialized din of avelus.
Excellent. Okay, Baruch Shekivanti. It all depends on how you understand the relationship between aninus and avelus. The Rambam combines the two. In fact, the Rambam's source for the mitzvah of avelus is aninus. And the Rav used to say that it's one cube, but there's a fundamental difference between the two. Whereas the case of aninus expresses itself in los ases and isurim, the kiyumim of avelus begin with kvuras ames. So it's possible that according to the Rambam, we can say the following: that since aninus and avelus are not really mutually exclusive, misa itself, I mean, that'll be my shiur on Wednesday, misa itself triggers off both aninus and avelus. The kiyum element of avelus is postponed till after the kvura because he cannot be involved in any other mitzvah other than kvura. Even the mitzvah of avelus has to be pushed off. But in terms of your conceptual definition, what the misa engenders is both aninus and avelus as one entity. The kiyum of avelus befal is postponed until after stimas agolel. But if at one point we can retract, or how shall I say, we can reverse the situation of aninus, and we can create an aninus based on the fact that now he can be osek b'kfura, that chiyuv kfura now again engenders all the surim of aninus. He's an avel. Yeah, he's an avel as far as those elements of avelus that don't undermine aninus. So then maybe he could be an onein, but that's an interesting question. I'm sure the poskim will discuss. So Rabbi Osei for Yom Revi'i Amirtz Hashem, we have the machlokes in the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avos and the Ramban. I think I photocopied the Ramban for you. I don't know if you still have it. Alan, you'll be in Chutz Laaretz by Wednesday, or what? So we'll have to scan it to you, you know, the Ramban. But you may have the Ramban, so you'll save me the effort of having to scan it to you. All right, and then we'll get back to the story of Rabbeinu Tam and his sister. That we didn't get to today, but B'li Neder, we'll save that on Wednesday. Just want to remind the Olim that at 7 p.m. tonight, the chief rabbi of the Ashkenazic sector of Israel will address us on the issue of marriage and divorce in the state of Israel. What happens at 7:30? Well, my chabur is at 4:30.
Oh, 7:30 is on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah.